Today's edition of the Survivor Wiggle Room is coming up right after we thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, those are friends over at TrueCar. You know, there's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. When you use TrueCar, they can help you buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. There's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from True Car certified dealers nationwide. You'll get to see what other people paid for the car that you want. You don't even have to move a plate of spaghetti out of the way. It's right there. You can know what a fair price is and you can feel confident. You don't have to hide the quote so other people don't see it either. With True Car, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. And with True Car, you can easily find the new or used car that you want. Best of all, True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Check it out.
Josh.
Thanksgiving week in the Wiggle Room.
Appropriate week for a Thanksgiving themed Wiggle Room, considering all of the pasta I just ate.
Yes.
I'm so full.
Pull up a chair at the kids' table. We're ready to go here in the Wiggle Room, week number 8 of Survivor 35. And that's week number ATE.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Oh my God, man. I mean, not that I would ever be in, I would never be so fortunate as to be in the Joe Mena position of that reward challenge this week. I would get out of the gutter, Rob. Get out of there. Stop that. But I feel like, how great would it have been if he had just like put himself first and just ate all of the spaghetti? Like, I feel like that would be, that's the next step after this, after the results from this reward challenge. In the future, if in the future we're going to see some sort of pasta party where you get to choose the eating order, I think the move is you just choose yourself first. You just eat it all. You just eat the whole mountain of spaghetti and you come back and everyone's like, wait, where's the food? I ate it. I'm sorry. I'm fat right now.
Yeah. Well, I think that there is an interesting metagame going on here with Survivor when they do these types of things where they put somebody in a position where, you know, in the past, it was an easier decision. And I know a lot of people have second guessed Joe in terms of, oh, how could he not know there was an idol? But I mean, I thought that the gag was supposed to be that, oh, okay, he would put himself first and then get voted out because people would say, oh, he's selfish. But there was good reason to put yourself first because the idol was in there. And so if this is a gag that they try in Survivor 37, 38 down the road, even if there's no idol clue, then I think then there is going to be that factor weighed in terms of where would I put myself in the order in terms of like, because we've talked about this certainly in the evolution of strategy, the times where it's like, okay, Rupert, you won the reward challenge, so you get to pick who eats what. And right. So, you know, okay, well, he's going to make himself have the biggest portion, and you know, Judd, you get to decide who gets to have open bar as well. So we've seen that sort of like rationing out of the meals, but this now really is going to incentivize people to put themselves not only in the best position to eat, but also the best position to potentially find an idol.
I don't think that I can say enough how much I enjoyed the pasta party. I think the pasta party was one of my favorite Survivor moments in recent history. It was just spectacular. It was a hilarious idea. The fact that there is like an instrumental artifact of the game, a clue to it, hidden underneath a mountain of spaghetti, which just looked awful. Oh my God, that spaghetti looked gross. Mm-hmm. And everyone is just like slowly chipping away from the same portion, some of them slowly getting drunk. The whole process of like figuring out what to do with the evidence and sort of like the different approaches to that. And then, of course, the payoff with like the big brawl over the idol. I thought it was great. I loved it. I thought it was really, really fun. Probst, when I spoke with him for our weekly THR column, tipped his cap to to Jimmy Quigley and Dax Poynton on the Survivor crew, two of the great producers of Survivor, for coming up with the pasta party idea. Probst originally did not like the idea for the pasta party. He didn't even like the pasta party idea.
Why not?
He thought it'd be too messy. He thought that it would be too gross and it would be too sloppy and that it wouldn't play well. And then I guess Jimmy and Dax came back to him and repitched him the idea. And they're like, look, we really think that this would be fun. And, you know, to Probst's credit, and I think that this is one of the reasons why he really is a great leader of the Survivor team, is if people have enough of a passion and idea, he's often willing to try something out if people are really going to bat for something. And he went, you know, he went with it on this one. They went with this idea, and I think that it played out hilariously. I think it was great TV. I think the, you know, the slow appearance of the clue as the pasta is being chipped away, like, that was just a great visual. And the fact that it took until Ryan for somebody to figure out to, like, hide the plate in the woods. I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was great. I thought the whole thing was a fantastic mess. Disgusting and wonderful, yeah. Which is how you like your Survivor.
Right. And I agree. And I probably have not given it enough kudos myself, but I feel like that it was, you know, almost genius-esque in terms of that there were so many different levels to it. I also like the idea of there being some sort of a idle clue that now you want to sort of, like, get out of plain sight, but it's the kind of thing that potentially is going to be then missing by other people. And, you know, it's fitting that I had Todd on the podcast because in discussing sort of the hidden immunity idol in China, where it was this big piece of the signpost, it's the kind of thing that after it's removed, it's the kind of thing that could cause people to say, like, hey, wasn't there a thing there? Like, isn't this weird? And it's the kind of suspicion and chatter that makes there be more reason for paranoia on Survivor. And I always like trying to ratchet that up.
Yeah, thinking about that, I mean, that was such a great aspect of the Survivor China immunity idols, that there was now just, like, this big missing, like, you know,
like, wasn't there a thing there? Am I crazy? Yeah, well,
and even, like, represented by the fact that there was, like, the discoloration in the wood, where, like, it's hard to not notice that there is something different about camp if you're spending a lot of time and looking up at that awning and suddenly that idol is gone. And I feel like, you know, Survivor has been trying a lot of different stuff with the idols recently, but has that element really been in play in recent times? Like, when is the last time where something is missing from the idol that would be really difficult to not notice? Like, I'm thinking about the top of the rice in Survivor Philippines. Is there a better, more recent example than that?
No, that's probably the most recent example. And, you know, I think that Survivor likes the hidden immunity idol to be something that you can, you know, have on your person and then pull it out for that, having that moment of surprise. And, you know, in China, you had those, like, giant Scrabble tiles, which were, you know, sort of like walking around with manhole covers. You're not going to be able to, you know, have a hashtag crotch idol in that situation.
Right. Well, if you do, you might want to go see Dr. Joe. You know, it seems like you might have some issues. It's like, nothing's wrong here. Everything's fine. Everything's okay.
Do not no medical emergencies. Put a large square anywhere near your area. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Mike would definitely pick up on there being something wildly wrong.
That is
in some
wrong.
Of these situations. Listen, we talked about crotch idols with Dr. Mike in the preseason, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it all comes back around. But no, I love that. I think that, you know, having this, you know, this idol buried right in front of the tribe camp, in front of the tribe flag, and everyone is presumably going to either notice the dig or at least see, like, the huge hole that is left behind. Like, this forces the action to happen very likely in front of everybody, if not, you know, at least a lot of people, if not everybody. I think the move in the future, if you're Cole Metters in the future, if you're a Cole Metters type and you have seen this clue and you are in the Minority Alliance and you know that it is going to be something that is that has to be procured in front of the entire tribe, and you come back from the reward challenge and you really got to go to the bathroom, I think you just got to pee yourself and dig for the idol at the same time. I think you just got to sacrifice it. You're dirty anyway. You're gross. You're disgusting. You're probably covered in marinara sauce, a fine marinara. So I think you just got to go. You just got to, you know, just continue to be dirty and just go digging. Go digging, pee and dig at the same time. And then nobody's going to want to go near you, too. So it's actually kind of, you know, a defense mechanism where like, oh, God, he just peed himself. I don't want to touch that.
That's right. So you think people need to mark their territory. So
I think it's an idea.
You suggest, you know, urinate in the area you suspect the idol is. And then people will be like, oh, I'm not digging there.
Yeah, maybe they can't take it, too, because you've marked your territory. So it's like, it's yours. They can't go in. Like, you know, you've already claimed it. Claimed.
Right. Certainly on Dog Survivor, this would work.
Bob Dog Survivor.
Bob Dog Survivor. Okay. Josh, well, let's talk about the most recently departed contestant from Survivor, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And that would be Desi Williams. And a lot has been made about a certain interview that she gave in the exit press this past week. And I wanted to know if you had been able to look at any of that.
Yeah, I think if you were to give me four potential Desi quotes, three of which were from a SheKnows.com article and one of which was not, I'm not sure that I would pass the test. But yes, I have looked at the SheKnows article. This tends to happen that at least 1 week per season, I'm unable to participate in Exit Press Day due to whatever reason. And this was the week where I was not able to interview Desi on Thursday. I did get a chance to speak with her on Friday. That interview has not posted to THR.com just due to a variety of issues. And frankly, I'm not sure that it's going to make it up. But I got the chance to talk to Desi the day after she gave this interview. And wow. That was a harsh interview. Not mine. Mine was, you know, totally pleasant. But what she had to say about Chrissy Hofbeck in that SheKnows.com piece was pretty savage and not of the Andrew variety.
No, she did not refer to Chrissy as a wimpy little non-leader. If anything,
speaking
the opposite.
Speaking of which, I received a request over the weekend from a Reddit user named Big Brother Can, who wanted to see if I could refer to the Hurslers Alliance as the wimpy little non-healers. So there you go. Shout out to Big Brother Can. Mission accomplished.
In your talking with Desi, did she walk back any of the statements that she made about Chrissy after it really blew up on the internet?
Yeah, so I asked her about the SheKnows.com article in specific, and I think that she was a little bit taken aback by the headline. We didn't really get into the quote specifically of what she said about Chrissy's physical characteristics. Desi did say she didn't mean to, you know, hurt any feelings or anything, but, you know, she is not a Chrissy fan. And, you know, probably at that point, you know, it's late in the day. These exit interviews, they go on all day long. I can't imagine what it's like to be in that hot seat. I'm sure you can imagine what it's like to be in that hot seat, mm-hmm. Rob, having done it before. So I'm sure that, you know, by that point in the day, she must have just been kind of, you know, tired of, you know, probably saying a lot of the same stories over and over again. And I think we ended up getting this really explosive version of her Chrissy sentiments, not to excuse, you know, the content of the comments. They were really, really harsh. Like, I think that was the title of the Reddit thread is, can you remember a pettier exit interview than this one? And, you know, without really like wading too far into like the conflict that seems to be brewing between Desi and Chrissy and maybe some other people in Chrissy, it was just like really, really severe, very, very severe comments that I'm personally not a huge fan of. No problem with having an issue against another player, but I think you got it. You can scale back the rhetoric just a little bit. Feels a little harsh to me.
The weird thing about all of the exit press that went on Thursday was that Desi gave like a pretty PC interview to, you know, just about everybody else in the exit press, where she certainly voiced her displeasure with Chrissy. But for whatever reason, when she got to this one outlet, she knows, and maybe she felt like, okay, well, this is the proper place to out Chrissy as somebody who she felt like was gunning after her as a strong woman, that was where she really, all the other people that were doing interviews, she didn't really go into anything like this.
The one thing that I, you know, when we did get into our back and forth about Chrissy, because I kind of just wanted to understand, like, there is this sentiment that is building up across the exit press, and it's been, you know, really latched onto by certain fans online is this idea of, does Chrissy not like women? Does she, you know, does she have a problem with women? And I just kind of wanted to get sort of as objective as we possibly could with the four most recent votes, all of whom were women and all of whom Chrissy was deeply involved in their eliminations. And just to kind of like see, like, was there, you know, what's the logic to those votes? And in voting out Rourke, by voting for Rourke, Chrissy, you know, cements the fact that there is, you know, two heroes, two hustlers on that Soko tribe. She's strengthening her position with Ryan, potentially even gaining control a little bit over Ryan by depowering Allie to some degree.
I'd also like to add that Rourke's plan was to vote out Chrissy.
Right, totally, 100%. Like, so, and then,
so yeah, I think that she made the right move to go with the plan to get out Rourke.
To vote for Allie instead of, I guess, JP is the other option in that moment. JP is somebody that Chrissy has a relationship with dating back to the beginning of the game. Seems to me to be a more malleable player than Allie, I would guess, I think is a fair thing to say. You know, you get rid of Allie there and you are really solidifying your position with Ryan. So that makes a ton of sense to me as to why you would vote out Allie at that vote. At the merge, Jessica is probably of the healers, if that's who you're targeting, she's the least likely to have an idol or have an idol played for her in that scenario where Cole and Joe both seem to be people that they wanted to target, but Joe has an idol as evidenced by the fact that he pulls it out at Tribal Council, and Cole is somebody that he could potentially play it for, him being a big challenge beast threat. I think Jessica is like the least likely to get the idol played on her there, and she's super close with Cole, so voting her out there makes a lot of sense to me, just logically from Chrissy's perspective. And then Desi is a challenge beast. Like, she kicked so much ass in that first immunity challenge, and she's just so physical, and she's a healer, and I think that there's a lot of reasons to be worried about Desi moving forward in the game, so voting her out there makes sense. So just in terms of like the logical progression of votes from Chrissy's perspective, that makes a lot of sense to me. So I laid that out for Desi and said, is there something that I'm missing in terms of like an emotionality that just doesn't translate from the beach to the screen? And I think that was part of it, where she talked about there's, you know, a certain way that Chrissy was interacting with people and the way that she was talking to certain people that maybe we're just not getting from the show.
Right.
You know, your mileage may vary on what to take seriously in the exit press. As somebody who does exit press, there is the famous Fishbackian phrase, exit interviews are not canon. So read into them what you will and factor that into the equation as you will. Desi's now off the show, first member of the jury, and Chrissy remains very much in the mix. We'll see if there's more stuff that's happening on the show that either strengthens or weakens this narrative that seems to be building around her. But I'm fascinated by all of it. I do wish we could all just get along. It is just Survivor. But what are you going to do? Yeah. It's an interesting kind of tense, fraught dynamic that I certainly wasn't expecting to be playing, especially this week in the exit press. But what are you going to do?
Two other things on this that still need to be untangled. Chrissy did not cast a vote for Desi in either the first round of voting or the tiebreak vote, which is interesting that Chrissy was the only person to cast a Joe vote on the tiebreak. So I think that that would be a question for Chrissy down the road, who has been vocal about how that she really wants to get Joe out of the game. I also think that it also is a discussion that probably should be had at some point, either during the season or in the postseason interviews, that I don't think that Chrissy is necessarily saying I'm going to target all of the women in the game, but maybe that there is a perception that Chrissy is not looking at the other women that are out there as the people that she wants to go to the end with. So it might be that she is not giving off a vibe to these other women in the game that, okay, you are part of my end game. It seems like that she might be pretty fixated on, okay, I'm looking at the Ryans, I'm looking at the Bens. Those are the people that I want to make these final two or final three deals with.
The other thing, too, is like I feel like these last four people who were voted off were some of the strongest players in the game. You know, whatever you want to say about like the showmance of it all with Jessica, from speaking with her, I think that she's an incredibly smart and social person. And I can imagine that she would have been really dangerous if she'd gotten further down the line. Like if the scenario plays out where she can get to the final three and Cole is one of the people that she's sitting next to and I don't know, call it JP to just sort of consider it a non-factor in the third spot. I feel like Jessica has a really good argument for winning the game. I feel like Desi, if she makes it that far, she is somebody that I'd be very nervous to sit against, to go up against in the finals, because I think that she is super smart. She's really social as well, and she's clearly incredibly athletic and strong. Rourke is brilliant. Allie is really smart and shrewd as well. These are four people who it's been a real bummer to lose them from the season. Bummer. It's been really disappointing to lose them because I think all four of them had such incredible potential. Like in the version of Survivor Triple H that plays out where those four who seem to be really tight after this experience managed to move forward in the game, and that's like the final four. I'm very excited about that final four. I love that final four. So if you're in opposition to those players, it really behooves you to get them out. It really is in your best interest to vote those four people out. And all four of them happen to be women. And I think that the show hasn't really, it doesn't translate from watching the show that it is because they are women that they were voted out. I think what the show has made it appear to be and what reality could be is that these are just the four most logical votes in those voting situations. So that's where I'm having a little bit of trouble. Like, I love all four of those players. I would have loved to have seen them go really deep into the game. I hope that all four of them, or at least, you know, a majority of them, get another shot. Like, I would love to see them back on Survivor. But it breaks the way that it breaks sometimes. And I think for Chrissy, voting for those four made a heck of a lot of sense. So I don't know. I'm curious about the whole thing. It'll definitely be something to dig into with Chrissy in the postseason, and when you can do postseason interviews with the others, you know, when you get to have that opportunity on RHAP, I'm going to be really curious about how this conversation continues, because it's fascinating. And I like all five of the people in the mix. So it's like everyone's fighting and I don't like it. It sucks.
Yeah. Well, these last couple of weeks has been a real massacre in terms of almost everybody's winner picks going off the board, and everybody who was on the Rourke, Allie, Jessica, Desi, all those winner picks are all wiped off the board. So if you're saying, all right, I'm going for one of the standout women this season, then chances are you are without a winner pick at this point.
Yeah, if you remember way, way back, we, you know, once upon a long time when the Wiggle Room was a blog here on Rob Has a Podcast, I did a blog post about this fantasy draft that I do with my two friends, Eric and Scott, every season when it gets down to about like 15 people or so. And we can kind of divide it up after we've had a couple of weeks to get to know everybody. And it's an auction draft. So it's all based on how much money you've got to get the right person. Most people probably know what this is. I'm really the one who would need the explainer. And I put like all of my money basically towards the effort of getting Jessica Johnston, because I was starting to really feel a Jessica win. And then I also put some significant amount of money towards getting Desi, because I felt like Desi was a really strong player. Both of them are gone now. I have Chrissy and Lauren are both still in the hunt. So I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them very hard. But yeah, coming into this, Allie was my official winner pick from the preseason. Jessica was my winner pick for as far as this this draft goes. Desi was my backup plan, and all three of them are gone. So it sucks. Like, who's going to win this thing? Is nobody going to win? Is this going to be the first Survivor season without a winner?
I think that other candidates have emerged, but I think that those were all popular preseason
picks.
Yes,
of course.
Yes.
Of course, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Josh, I want to talk to you about something that came up in this episode, which was sort of on the subject of something that we were talking about from last week's episode. I want to play for you some of the comments from an exchange between Jeff and Devin at Tribal Council.
Devin, where do you weigh in on this?
Yeah, I think this game just strips us down and we really are exposed. Like today at camp, we got back from the immunity challenge and I was just laying in the shelter like dead, just like, bleh. And I don't want to be like that. I mean, I feel like I'm always positive, high energy person, just loving to smile and laugh and just have a good time all the time. I don't want to be a zombie. I like it.
Devin doesn't want to be a zombie.
Oh, God, yes. The walking dev is real. It's real. It's happening. Oh, I love that.
He doesn't want to be like,
I love that. Yeah, blah. Oh my God, The Walking Dev. The Walking Dev, it's a real thing. It's a true phenomenon. Our first zombie player in the history of Survivor. Even kind of got, he's got like the Daryl Dixon hair going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Sure.
It's great.
I know. Answer this question for me. Who is more taken with Devin at this point in time, you or Jeff Probst?
Fascinating. Started tribal attack. And then it went deeper and it got personal. And yet, once again, we're going to do the thing we do is vote. And it will all crystallize again. That was an amazing journey. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, there's something about sitting across from Devin Pinto that just, you know, makes you a little weak at the knees, Rob. Even Probst isn't immune to his charms.
What did he say that was like, oh, my God. Oh, my. You blew my mind with that.
Fascinating.
He wants to be a bright light in a dark world. Rob, have you no heart?
Yeah.
Have you no sense of optimism?
Is this
and
like
hope
when Liz Lemon was
joy
dating Don Draper and he didn't know that he actually wasn't funny because he was so attractive that people just like laughed at all his jokes?
Devin's funny.
What did he say that was funny?
He said, I don't want to be a zombie.
I don't want to be a
pretty
dead
great
guy.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, right? That was pretty good. We laughed about that. I had a good laugh about it. I don't know. I love all these guys. The heroes, healers, and hustlers, I feel like they're all my children. Everyone is, everyone's hilarious. Everyone's wonderful. I don't want any of them to get voted out. I don't want any of them to fight. I don't want any of them to turn into zombies, though I am cool with The Walking Dead.
Fascinating.
Okay. Let's talk about Lauren and the situation that she's in, Josh, because she really now was in the spotlight this week after she had the opportunity to get this advantage and she had to, you know, make this risky move where she's not going to cast a vote this week, but now she will have two votes moving forward.
We talked about this last week in the Wiggle Room of like, I was going to be very excited to see how the show handled Lauren this week, given that she made her decision to go with the Hurstlers rather than going with the Yawa Five. And what would Lauren's explanation be? Would she be afforded an opportunity to explain herself, or at least would people not be like mad at Lauren? Would we kind of, what would we see? And we didn't get to really see like her strategic reasoning for making the choice that she made. But that's because there was this other major development that was happening with Lauren that needed to be stopped down and examined. And it's that she has the secret vote, which is this new advantage that has been introduced to the game that she has to secure in this really kind of fun, sort of shady way where she has to like sneak a parchment out of tribal council. I love that idea. I think that's really fun. And I think for it to have been Lauren to be in this position again, it is once again just somebody who I wouldn't really be thinking about to honestly have even been here this long to be in the position to be in to be grabbing the secret vote. But the fact that she has this now, I don't know. I mean, we track these advantages in the post Worlds Apart era, beginning with Dan Foley getting mm-hmm. the vote doubler. And has it been played correctly? Has it been played incorrectly before? And just tracking all of that. And I'm curious where Lauren is going to land on this side of things. You know, she's got the opportunity. Will she play her secret vote better than a certain know-it-all? I'm curious to see the answer.
Yeah, and we really did plant the flag at that time in terms of, like, we were just wrapping up the evolution of strategy, and we said, you know, it's probably going to be something that ends up being, you know, well-defined here in these next 10 seasons of Survivor, of how do these vote advantages, disadvantages shake out, and what ends up being the precise strategy on how to use these and figuring them out. I don't think we're at that point yet. I don't think that we necessarily have a best practice on what she should be doing with this.
No, I really, I'm like really trying to like chew on the math and like what is the move with the secret vote and everything. Like my, you know, smoke coming out of my ears, flames on the side of my face. Really, really not entirely sure. I'm curious to see how it plays out when we get a little bit further down the line. But in terms of the development of the twist itself, your mileage may vary on having as many advantages in the season as we've had. I know Dalton has been really vocal about that in his columns at EW, about how, holy crap, we are really pacing for, like, you know, basically, I don't know what the exact numbers are, like an advantage every other week or something like that. So, you know, you could take your issues with that. But I think in terms of the secret vote itself, and that being, you know, the next stage of the vote doubler and then the vote steal, I like that this is, like, really taken secretly. Like, I really like that you have to risk getting it kind of publicly. Not that anybody is really looking for you to do what Lauren did here. I don't think anyone is, like, watching her to see if she's going to steal a parchment. That's something to look out for in 37 and beyond if you're going to go out there and play, for sure. As if you needed one more thing to be super paranoid about, you should definitely be watching how people are voting. But I think that to have that be the mechanism for getting this extra vote completely in secret, and I assume, does she have to announce it when she plays it in the future, or is she just going to go up to the voting booth and vote twice and nobody's going to be the wiser? That would be my guess is how it plays out, right?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of, I believe Steven did have to announce what he was doing, but he was going to be taking Joe's vote. I'm trying to remember what Debbie had to do last season when
I'm pretty sure she had to announce
vote.
It.
Yeah. So I think that there probably needs to be an announcement.
Interesting. I don't know. I think, like, you know, if it's an advantage, like, if the advantage decreases significantly when you have to announce it, almost to the point where
people,
like,
break
if you have
out
to,
idols.
Right. Like, if you have to announce that before the vote, you know, I think that that's tough. So I don't know. I don't again, like, yeah, we don't have great answers on exactly how that should play. But this, if that's how this plays, where Lauren is able to just, like, go up there and cast two votes and not say anything. I'm of the mind right now, just, like, thinking about it in this moment in time, that is the better way to play it, in terms of, from Survivor's point of view, but
yeah.
I guess we'll see.
And I know that, there are a lot of people that feel like, okay, there are too many idols, too many advantages in the game. And I'm not saying that I don't feel that way, but I am much more of the wait and see, because it does feel like that this is going to be a season where a lot of that is going to drive the story, in terms of, like, even the preview that we're seeing for next week, where it looks like that there could be a rift potentially opening where Ryan is sharing that information with certain people, and then there's crosstalk. Ben obviously knows about the advantage that Lauren has, but he doesn't know about the advantage, as far as we know, that Chrissy has that was given to her. So there, I think, as Jeff Probst has signaled in the preseason, a lot of this season is going to be based on secrets. And it's not just maybe who is going to be playing these advantages, but who are you trusting with the information that you have an advantage, and how much of that informational currency is being exchanged between the players. And that may be something that sort of drives a rift between these factions moving forward.
Secrets are no fun unless you're on Survivor, in which case they're tons of fun.
What's a
Isn't
secret
that how the
secret?
Saying goes?
Is that what it is?
Fascinating.
You never heard secrets are no fun, secrets are for everyone?
No, I didn't know that.
That's the first time you're ever hearing that?
Yeah.
Wow. You got to get outside.
Yeah, nobody's telling me that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right, we got a lot of wand off to get to in just a moment. Anything else you want to say from the episode?
No, I think we're good. I think we're all right. You've thoroughly covered this episode here and elsewhere on RHAP.
All right, this week's edition of the Wand Off coming up is sponsored by a new sponsor on the podcast, Honey. And Honey is going to save you a lot of money. If you want to save money when you're shopping online this holiday season, you should check out Honey. Honey was started by two friends who were frustrated by the lack of price transparency from online shopping. So they started Honey to help other people find the best prices online. Josh, have you ever been trying to buy something online and you get to check out? It's like, oh, I wonder if there's a code that I can put in. What's the secret advantage to put in to get 5%, 10% off? Because obviously, you know, that stuff is out there and you end up Googling stuff and ending up on all these spammy websites. Do you do that, or is that just me?
Yeah, get me out of the spammy websites. If there is an app that gets me away from, like, pop-ups on pop-ups on pop-ups, I'm popping up for that, Rob.
Right. Honey is a browser extension available for Chrome, Firefox, and Safari that lets you save time and money shopping online, and they are going to figure out the best possible discount code on any of these online stores. On average, Honey members save save $34 a month shopping online with Honey. You don't need to be an actuary to know that that's a great deal. You'll always get the best prices. Honey will show you if you can get the same item for less from a different seller, even factoring in Amazon Prime, shipping, and more. And you can track the prices of any item. Honey can show you the price trend of the item so you can decide when is the best time to buy, or you can add it to your drop list. Honey will notify you when the item drops in price. Honey's already saved over hundreds of millions of dollars for over 6 million members. There's no reason to not join today. It just takes you two clicks to start saving money. Join Honey today for free at joinhoney.com/survive. That's joinhoney.com/survive.
I like it.
Now, Josh, I know that Friday is Black Friday, and a lot of people go out and sleep outside to save a lot of money going to these department stores. Have you ever decided?
Stop right there! Oh. You want to know right now? Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. Straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You wanna know right now, before you go any further, it's the one dog, it'll be here forever.
Wow, oh my god. Wanda Shirk breaking out of the credits and into the middle of the show again for the first time in a while. I guess she's really pissed off about all of the tweets she's been getting about the Wanda.
Like a bat out of hell. Wow.
Like a bat out of hell. Wanda! Meatloaf! Oh my god, unbelievable.
All right, wonderful job.
Wanda, she still has it. She still has
she's
it. All right, well,
still
I guess
got it.
Guess that's the signal. That's the signal. We're in Wanda territory. Forget Black Friday. This is Wanda Tuesday? Monday?
Yeah, whatever. Depends on your time shift. Yeah.
Maybe okay. Even Wednesday? Yeah.
All right. Wanda Wednesday would be the best, but
that sounds right. Yeah.
All right. So, Josh, last week on the Wanda Off, it was down to just three finalists that our listeners cast their votes. And we have a winner. And this was our closest Wanda Off yet.
How many write-ins? How many write-ins this week for Hilsebeck? Any?
No write-ins. There were no write-ins.
No write-ins. I don't believe that to be true.
There were
just
no write-ins.
Paying attention to the write-ins.
Third sure place with 14% of the vote. This is from Isabel. I kissed a call and I liked it. And then it was neck and neck for first place this week. And not close enough where Isabel had to cast the deciding vote between first and second place. But it was 44% of the vote to 41% of the vote. Second place was Jason with the Outback's Back All Right. And then in first place this week, it was Alex G with I Vote Virgins, Not Parole Officers, the Panic at the Disco parody.
Joe chimed in with the Haven't You Heroes Ever Heard Of? Playing your goddamn idol. It's much better to face these kinds of votes with immunity, just like Queen Desi Cole chimed in. Haven't you hustlers ever heard of?
Right, well, congratulations to Alex G. A great job on the Wand Off. Of course, before we get to the top five, we're back to the top
five
this week.
Expand
and really, a lot of great submissions. It was tough to narrow it to just five this week. We have the honorable slash dishonorable mention for the Wand Off. Okay.
Anyone who submits to the Wand Off, you are an honorable person. You are also a jerviceable person.
Yes.
So keep submitting. Please do.
Okay. All right. So let me set up what's coming up here in the honorable dishonorable mentions, and let me throw it to the great host of the Wand Off, Casey Case.
I love that Casey has made such a great comeback here on RHEP. This is great.
Nobody.
So many people
saw
missing
it coming.
All right, Casey, what do you
total
got?
Total blindside. All right. First up in the honorable dishonorable mentions, we had one of our listeners, Jordan, decided was so inspired by a secret scene from J.P. Hilsebeck that he recorded his own song with the actual words used by J.P. in the secret scene. He calls it J.P.'s Diner.
You can think about the end, but you can't think about the end. And you know I got my end goal, and I got my small goals right now. And just, you know, little baby steps, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Those were JP's actual words. Turn into song.
I don't know. I think I was expecting for it to be like an original beat.
Yeah.
With JP's actual dialogue juxtaposed on top of it.
JP said.
Mission for future Wandoff submitter. Come up with your own musical beat. And
remix.
Juxtapose JP actually speaking on top of it. I would love to hear that. That sounds like a great time at the movies.
All right. Our next entry.
Wait, does JP really eat elephants? Is this a thing?
He said that you can't think about the whole game. It's one step at a time, the same way you would eat an elephant, one bite at a time.
Why are you eating an elephant?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think that they lifted the restriction recently.
They're in danger. No. I don't like that. Okay. Carry on.
It was part of the merch feast, I think.
That's terrible.
Okay. Fiji has different laws, Josh. Okay.
Okay. All right. Fiji law.
All right. Our next entry is all about Lauren Rimmer, who, with the help of an advantage, was able to avoid voting. Here's Chrissy and Drew with a song called No Votes.
No, I won't cast no vote. I'll let it be a tie, then I'll bank another vote for me. Hoping no one's keeping count. Think the re-vote. Try to keep the tribe from seeing.
Yeah, I like that. No scrubs here. Get your scrubs out of here.
Get it out of here. All right.
Steal some votes.
Next up, still continuing on Lauren's advantage. And the vote countdown, not like this countdown, here's Travis.
Count the votes again. Jeff, could you please just count the votes again? We've got one for Lauren and one vote for Ben. But I can't figure where the last one went.
I love that. That's really great. That's very clever. Yeah, no one, listen, this is tough to play Survivor and do math at the same time. It's not like that's the game.
Then there were a lot of Wandoff entries that were all about that pasta party. Let's start off with Cole Millionaire about the search for the idol.
They see me digging, they hate him.
Wow, just really whispering that out there. Sing louder! I love that. That was great. I thought that was wonderful.
The Beatles have inspired so many Wandoff entries. Here's Danny D about the hunt for the idol.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something. There's something under the flag. And I get back to camp. I'm gonna dig in the sand.
Hold my hand, because that was delightful, and I would like to shake the hand of whoever did that.
That was Danny D.
Danny D. Well done, Danny D.
Not to be outdone, here is an entry from an artist called Mikey Beatles.
Hey, you've got to hide the plate away. Hey, you've got to hide the plate away.
Now, let's turn to our Robbed G. Otis. That would be Desi. And we've got a couple of entries of people mourning her loss. Here's Gage.
Joe, he played an idol last week, and Ryan got the replacement instantly. They should not worry about Joe, because he gave Devin all his spaghetti. They got out Desi on Solo a beach. At least she's jury.
You know, you have me wondering now if anyone has ever referred to Otis Bushkauskas as a robbed G. Otis.
No, that's great.
Has that never happened?
Somebody get on Reddit right now with that. Okay. Now, this last entry.
Oh, God. He's already laughing. I'm nervous.
This just missed being a finalist, but it was way over the time limit that we set out here for the wand off. So let me set it up and then we'll come back for the chorus.
Please tell me it's Rapper's Delight. Please tell me that it is a 15-minute wand off.
This is Adam.
Hello.
Triggering.
Desi.
Very triggering. We've already dropped at least one PG Law reference in here today.
Okay.
Ooh, oh my gosh.
So how am I supposed to get it was too long. This was like 2 minutes long, and so we'll just cut to the good part.
We kept in the douchey guy, 'cause his social game it sticks no lines. Well, we can't keep track of all the things that he's done, but when it adds to together, you'll piss off everyone. Yes, we kept the douchey guy, despite angering a sacrifice. And it's tough to tell you that for now he must stay. But let's be honest, 'cause Joe
they took Adele's beautiful song and turned it into We Kept in the Douchey Guy.
Is that what it was? We Kept in the Douchey Guy? I was too focused on like how genuinely beautiful that voice is. Like that was amazing. It is heartbreaking that this is DQ'd from the Wandoffs this week. Just for the size of the song.
But over 2 minutes, too long.
My God, the chops. Oh, wow. That's really
the production quality
that was
of the wand.
I'm not even kidding.
Risen
wow, I'm like actually floored by that. Like really, just belting that out.
I was crying for We Kept in the Douchey Guy.
I didn't know that. That's what it was. That's so good. That's so funny and so talented. Oh my God! All right, return to us. All return right. to us for another wand off.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Adam.
Adam, like 30 seconds would be ideal. Yeah, ideally, 30 seconds is you know, a minute is okay.
I let
okay,
it go. 1:15. I'll let it run. 2 minutes.
But 2 minutes is DQ territory. Yeah. But you are a future wand off winner, sir. So please come back. Please return to us. That was amazing.
All right. Here's this week's top five entries for you to vote on for the wand off. Special thanks to the tabulator, Kurt Clark.
Love Kurt Clark.
Number one, why don't we get into the feel of the holiday spirit with our first holiday themed wand off entry. And it goes out to a guy in a red turtleneck whose heart might be three sizes too big for his chest.
Oh my God.
You're keen one, Ryan Ulrich. You make moves since you hit the mat. You're heartwarming as a cushion, but as sneaky as a cat, Ryan Ulrich. Align yourself with Chrissy as well as JP and things like that. Hustler,
oh my God.
Ryan Ulrich. He found the idol before Cole. Saw your heart beating on TV, something else earlier in the show, Ryan Ulrich. Not the idol in your pants, but your 39 and a half foot pole.
Whoa! Graphic. Graphic.
Josh, do you like that Wanda has become like the bridge in all of these songs?
Yes, of course I do. Of course I do. It is the wand off, after all. Bring Wanda with you everywhere she can shirk. I'm in favor.
Okay. All right. Number two is a returning winner from the wand off. Here is Shannon Gates with another Ryan Ulrich melody.
I feel like I've been in this trap for 20 days of fearful nights, waiting for something to protect me. I'm licking my lips for some spaghetti today, but that don't mean that that's all on my plate. Hide it in the bushes. Wanda. Chrissy saying, let's go. Wanda. But Cole saying, no. If you wanna play with me, I found something new today. I'm a weasel with an idol. I gotta play it the right way. I don't fight under the flag. They don't know it's in my pants. I hope I made a good impression on all my Reddit fans. I'm a weasel with an idol, Chrissy. Gotta play it the right way, Joni. I'm a weasel with an idol, Helis. Can't, no, you can't vote me out.
That's a hit it. From the breakout artist, Christina Chagulera.
Oh, my God. I hope that Paul Asselson isn't listening, because I think Genie in a Bottle is a little triggering.
Triggering. All right. That was Shannon Gates, number two. Already a wand off winner. All right. You complained last week, Josh, that Hilsebeck didn't get into the wand off, but he's back with another song all about Chrissy.
In the tribal council, Desi was unlucky. Joe was in Mike's face and Lauren acting funny with a classic pagong. Starts with probes counting 4-4-2, but where's the 11th vote? I'm Chrissy Hoffbeck and I don't whisper. You F with me and you're gonna get Katrina'd. JP and Pinto and the cowboy marine and the turtleneck bellhop all seem to love me. Cole keeps saying I'm insane to complain about the fact that he ate all my cinnamon sticks. I don't believe that Colmatus can read. I tell people that he's stupid, though he's lying next to me. Cause the nature guy tried to fool this boss. What does he think? I eat spaghetti on a tablecloth. Cole. Hide it. Joe and Desi know I'm an action wary, so don't mess with Chrissy. Joe and Desi know I'm an action wary, so don't mess with Chrissy.
Actually, this one was not Hilsebeck, but Hoffbeck. Get that right. Okay. It works.
I don't know why that slayed me, but that's funny. Okay.
All right. Number four this week. Jenny and Colin are back.
They're back.
And so is Desi.
Oh, God.
The traps at Desi's back.
Yep.
Her immunity win made her a threat.
Yep.
Plus, she's the best at cooking rap attacks.
Yep.
Now on the jury, a vote she will cast.
Yep.
Take him to reward.
Dirty plate.
Uh-huh.
All the spaghetti hid the words it says.
Uh-huh.
Then in the bushes, right threw it away.
Uh-huh.
He finds an idol while Cole urinates.
Take him to the tribal.
At the urn.
Lauren's advantage.
Behind your back.
Lauren's advantage.
So they can't see.
Lauren's advantage.
So nobody.
Lauren's
take
advantage.
Take the parchment, hide it quick.
Lauren's advantage.
Right in those tits.
Lauren's advantage.
And in the tie.
Lauren's advantage.
Push it aside.
Lauren's advantage.
Break all Desi out.
Lauren's advantage.
Break all Desi out.
Lauren's advantage.
Jacob is the out. 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 Jacob is the out.
They're stabbing Desi's back.
Yeah. Yeah. Missed opportunity to not rhyme VIP with something JP. But other than that, I thought that was great.
And number five this week, it's our returning champion, Alex G. He is back with a song all about the Hurstler crew.
The camp isn't the best place to find an idol, so rewards are where I go. Me and myself at the table, thinking thoughts, drinking fast, and then searching slow. Chrissy comes over and starts up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now I saw the clue stop, put the plate in the jungle, our plan starts to advance. And now I'm singing like Cole is who we'll get rid of. That clue was handmade for somebody like me. Chrissy, now follow my lead. Cole went to pee, now don't mind me. Bellboy, let's not dig too much. Grab on my pants and stuff that idol in deep. Chrissy, cover up the beach. Chrissy, cover up the beach. I'm in love with my Hurstler crew. Ben and Lauren will flip on you. Although my heart's with Devin too, I find clues in spaghetti. Last tribal from my point of view, only 10 votes were read through. Every day Survivor throws in something new, I find clues in spaghetti. Oh why, oh why, oh why, oh why, I find clues in spaghetti. Oh why, oh why, oh why, oh why, we cast our votes for Desi. Oh why, oh why, oh why, oh why, I find clues in spaghetti. Every day Survivor throws in something new, I'm in love with my Hurstler crew.
All right, that was Alex G with a song from Josh's favorite Ginger Lannister.
I don't know why, but the Patrick Bolton of Lannister just killed me. Yeah, yeah. Seven in deep just killed me. That was really great. That was a very funny line. Yeah.
Kudos for rhyming Desi and spaghetti.
Yes, yes, yes. That should have been a no-brainer, but you know, it took until we got to this one for that rhyme to occur. That was good. That was great.
All right, cast your vote with the tabulator, Kurt Clark. You'll be stuffing the ballot box like birds across the country. All right. Another week.
Oh my god.
Another week of the wand off. The listeners have outdone themselves once again.
You guys are amazing. Hilarious, hilarious. Very talented people. And even where talent is lacking, comedy is not. So yeah. keep sending those wand offs in. You guys are you're the light of my life.
All right. So Thanksgiving Eve Survivor coming up on Wednesday night. That's going to take us into then 2 hours of Survivor the following week. So a lot is going to happen in the next 10 days or so. We're going to see at least three people out of the game.
Yeah, I hope that it's not just a straightforward beganging of the healers. I'm a little I feel like I'm like a little bit like bummed on the season right now. Like I'm worried that that's where we are. Like I don't like that if that's where we are. I hope that that's not where we are, but it just kind of feels like that's where we are. So I don't know. Shake some stuff up, Turkey Day Survivor. Shake some stuff up, subsequent double boot episode. Mm-hmm. Let's get things moving. Let's get things interesting.
I think we have to give Survivor the benefit of the doubt on these 2 hour episodes, because I do feel like that the last couple of years that all of the 2 hour episodes have been really super exciting. Last year's 2 hour block of Millennials versus Gen X may have been like two of the best episodes of the season, which included the rock draw in the pre-Thanksgiving 2 hour episode, and then of course that the second chances 2 hour episode was really exciting, where it was Jeremy played the idol on Steven in the first hour and then Steven went home in the second hour. So they were not putting those 2 hour episodes into okay, let's yada yada these episodes.
Right, right, right. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope that the double boot episode is a biggie. But leading up to that, I'm worried about the Turkey Day Thanksgiving Survivor episode. But at least we'll have turkey, you know? Though, I don't know. Some sort of putting yourself to sleep joke that I can't quite deliver right now.
All right, so we will see what happens the pre-Thanksgiving night. Of course, you want to make sure you are keeping up with everything Josh Wigler is doing on Twitter. He is at Round Howard. Josh, anything?
Yeah, what I'm doing is a whole lot of nothing. Not tweeting a whole lot recently. Yeah. But I'm out there. I'm here. You can say hi. I'm there.
He's out there.
I'm out there. Yeah. Lots going on. We will resume the Survivor Exit interview press. It's going to be late, I believe, this
Monday.
Week because of the holidays. Yes. So plenty of time to get that out into the universe. If you haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend watching this video that we posted on THR this week. You know how they do the behind the challenge stuff, the behind the scenes challenge videos with Mr. Kierhofer, and Monsieur Probst is also heavily featured in these videos quite often. The pre-merge castaways, or at least five of them, competed in the reward challenge this week. So my favorite, your favorite and mine, Katrina Radke, back on Survivor for one video only. This is a short
keep
look,
shining.
But it's, you know, keep shining. I was thrilled to see that they got the chance to do that. So that's a fun
why
video.
Why did they do that?
That
was there an explanation?
I don't know why they don't do that more often. I think that that's a really sweet, fun thing to do for the people who get eliminated early. You know, they're still hanging out, not terribly far away. They have to test out challenges anyway. I think it's a nice thing to invite people who've been voted out to come and get one last taste of Survivor
glory.
It's a
little mean, though, because just talking from the perspective of a person who has been voted out on Survivor before the merge, that they tell you, like, oh, okay, you're going to be like testing a challenge, and every single one of them, I guarantee, is going into that thinking, oh, this is an Outcast twist. We're going back into the game. Like, they're telling us. They're just testing it. They are all under the impression when they get there that it will be a twist in the game and they're going back in.
No, there's no way. I can't imagine that anyone's actually thinking that. I mean, I guess maybe you're, you know, probably deeply psychologically damaged at that point in time because this is Survivor and it messes with your mind. But I feel like they're being like, hey, and you're not actually playing Survivor. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That would be a good question to ask any of them. Like, no, we all thought we were going back into the game.
I think letting them see a little bit more Survivor, especially for the ones who went home really, really early, like Katrina and Simone. Like, I think getting them into another challenge, I think that's neat. I like that. I think it's awesome. I think it's neat.
Okay.
Fat Freakin' City indeed. Well, we're heading to Fat Freakin' City now because we're going off into Thanksgiving mode, baby.
Yep. Very exciting stuff. All right. So we will have everything else coming up over the Thanksgiving holiday. Of course, know-it-alls. I believe we need to get that started like right at 9:01. Stephen Fishback has something else going on. Busy social life for Stephen Fishback, who I believe is traveling and visiting relatives. So we're probably going to try to start that right after the bell rings on the end of the episode, or after the torch goes out. We will get on quick for Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night, so be on the lookout for that. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Wiggle Room exclusive time.
Hit it, Wanda.
Did you really think you'd get a week without another round of Wanderazzi? Wanderazzi, waha, Wanderazzi. Turkey dinner time. I hope your stuffing is seasoned with tons of thyme. That's THYME for time.